Hello. Today on the Ron Van Dam Show, we're going to learn how to fold a blanket. Seriously?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
What you do is you take the corner...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I laugh at nothing. I laugh because I'm full of glee and joy. Glee and joy, ladies and gentlemen. They'll be later here. Glee and Joy will be here to sing some of their biggest hits. Glee and Joy, ladies and gentlemen. Glee and Joy. And now the song stylings of Glee and Joy. Not Joy and Glee. Glee and Joy. Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? My name is Ron Van Dam. Welcome to the program. Make yourself comfortable. Take your clothes off. Sit a spell. Relax. Let's be informal. You can call me Ron. And your name? Bubbles? I don't think so, unless you're a stripper. Oh, you are. Okay, Bubbles. Nice. It's like your mother named you Bubbles, right? By the way, it's the mothers that name the kids, not the guys. The fathers have no part of this. They think they do, cleverly, but they don't. It's the woman's name. She comes up with the name, and she approves it. And that's why in America, the woman is really the head of the household. And the guy is simply a figurehead, a puppet regime, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what a puppet is? You stick your hand up one's ass. And that's what this is. Let's not mince words, because I don't have a word mincer. Maybe I should sell a word mincer online. I guess an office shredder would be a word mincer. I don't know. The women decide everything. When you have a child, a woman says, if it's a boy, I'm going to name it Joseph. If it's a girl, I'm going to name it Heather. And the guy says, no, if it's a boy, I want to name it Carl. And she goes, Carl, no. I dated a Carl. He's an asshole. He paid no attention to me. He was so into himself. And he was stubborn, ridiculous. He couldn't put his own shoes on without thinking about it for 6 hours and drawing diagrams. No, it ain't going to be Carl. There's no way I'm having a Carl in my family. Do you understand that? Yes, puppet master. We shall not name it Carl. How about if it's a girl, if we name it after my mother, Cynthia? No. I knew a Cynthia once. What a bitch she was. My God, I couldn't stand her. She was so nasty. She was we're not naming her Cynthia. Okay, puppet master. Yeah, I mean, women rule, they roost and all that. And the reason that they do is because they have tits and a vagina. And I'm serious, you know that's the reason. That rules everything. Yeah, guys have the little dangling participle between their legs, but it don't do anything. It's a puppet regime again. It's just a puppet. It's the women that rule. Really? Really, Ron? Yes, stop it. Come on. Let's get real. I ran into a woman yesterday, not with my car or anything, because that would be, I think, illegal. Ran into a woman yesterday, a young woman. She's in her 20s. And that alone should be an infraction. You shouldn't. Anybody's in their 20s. Good for you. Just good for you. That's all I'm saying. Just good for you. So she says to me, Ron, what was it like back in the day? And I said to her, why are you talking like that? What was it like back in the day? What, earlier this afternoon? What does back in the day mean? Back in what day? Back in the day? She made me feel very old using the term back in the day. It's like, to respond, I need to remove my teeth and put them in a jar and come up with some story about how I got to work on horseback. I mean, back in the day, before there was electricity, is that what you're saying to me? Back in what day? I want you to understand something, 20-year-olds. Someday, you're not going to be 20 anymore. As a matter of fact, you're going to blink your eyes, and when you unblink them, you will find you're not 20 anymore, that you're 30 and 40 and 50, and it goes all the way up till you can't count no more. You too shall be back in the day. So let's not put people in back in the day categories. You can say when you were a child or when you were my age. Back in the day is unacceptable. Sounds like I sat around on the ground in a circle and somebody in my circle invented or discovered fire. I mean, stop with the back in the day thing. I feel like I have to answer it with my grumpy Jew voice.
Back in the day, I remember. Back in the day, I remember that automobiles used to be 75 cents. And those were for the luxury cars. Back in the day, we had to take our hands and if we wanted some eggs, we had to get them ourselves and shove our hands up the ass of the chickens. And that's how we got our eggs. There were no egg cartons. Back in the day.
Stop with your back in the day stuff, huh? What, am I supposed to automatically throw myself into the Byzantine era? I wonder if people walking around in the Byzantine area knew that they were in the Byzantine era.
I hope we never lose this Byzantine thing. I love this Byzantine era.
Back in the day. Stop that. We're all one. As a matter of fact, I think that my brain at my age is far superior to your little 20-year-old demonstration of brain cells. And by the way, I do not take my teeth out at night. I start way earlier than that. I have all my body parts intact at this particular moment in my life. That's right. Sometimes when a young person says to me, oh my God, oh my God, I have acne, I feel like saying, good. You need to deal with a physical condition as a teenager, because I don't want you ever to feel that because you're young that you're impervious. Young people have this attitude, and I think it lasts until they're 22 years old. And I use the age 22 because it's a grab bag age. I don't know. Until you're 22, you literally feel that you're impervious, that someone could throw a javelin through your chest, and you just go, "Oh, is this your javelin?" And you pull it out and you walk down the street. You really feel that way. You think you can go like 500 miles an hour in a car and text with your feet, and you think, well, nothing's going to happen to me. Perhaps I'll get a little scratch on the car. I'll just get another car. I'm impervious. I will smoke 72 packs of cigarettes every day, and I'm impervious. Everything will be fine because I'm 22. And you know, we all know, and even you know, you're not impervious. I could smack you in the head with a 2x4 and it'll hurt just as much as if I smacked you in the head with a 2x4 when you were 35. And I'll just smack the acne off your face is what I'll do. Forget those creams and salves and things like that. I'll just smack the acne off your face, which you can't do legally either, because there is the smack the acne off the face law that you can't do that. So my message to the young people is: you're not impervious. You shall grow older. So if you ever use the phrase back in the day again, I will literally knock you back into the day and you will find out what impervious means to you.
They call him the big dog of the podcast world. And by they, I mean him. He calls himself the big dog of the podcast world. But thankfully, at least he stopped referring to himself in the third person, because that shit was getting annoying. Carry on, big dog. It's all about you, big dog.
Big dog here, ladies and gentlemen. I am big freaking dog. Ron is here in the third person. You're having a wonderful day back in the day. At the end of the day, it's another phrase I can't stand when people sum things up by saying, and at the end of the day, add these numbers together for me. 2 + 7 + 1. Well, Ron, at the end of the day, that's 10. Really? How much is it in the middle of the day? How much is it in the morning? Well, Ron, at the end of the day, around midnight, that would be 10. You sit in a chair at the end of the day and say to yourself, well, this is wonderful. At the end of the day, I had 3 meals, I went to work, I had a beer, I watched a little TV. At the end of the day, I took my shoes off and I went to bed. Now, what did you do today, Bill? What did you do? Oh, I went to the post office, and at the end of the day, I brushed my teeth. Isn't it fun? Isn't it a good time to just, oh man, at the end of the day. I went to Home Depot yesterday at the end of the day. Actually, it was in the middle of the day. I went to Home Depot. Why? Because I could. Because they allow me to walk into the store. That's why. I'm sorry, Ron. You can't come into Home Depot. I've heard your radio show. There's no way you're getting into our store. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, you're not getting in here. So I went to Home Depot, and I went through the part of the building that said entrance. Did you ever? I know you've done this. Have you ever gone to Home Depot or to a store, and you try to get in through the exit area because it's closer to your car? I've done that a few times, and I realize at the end of the day that's really not what you're supposed to do. And they set it up with an entrance because that's where the shopping carts are, and that annoying little Home Depot greeter. They have a Home Depot greeter. They have one at Lowe's every once in a while when they get their shit together. But at Home Depot, it's almost like it's a requirement. Listen, store managers, at the end of the day, don't let anybody into the store without greeting them first. I want you to greet them. Really. It's a Home Depot thing. So I walk in, and there's this woman standing right at the door. It's like walking into a nightclub. Like she's going to ask me how old I am and to see my ID. But she doesn't. She says, "Welcome to Home Depot." And I say, "Oh my God, I'm in the wrong place. I thought I was at Babies R Us. I so much apologize. I'm out of here." And then I laugh and I go, "That's a joke." And again, with my great amount of sarcasm, she doesn't understand. She just thinks I'm a mental patient or something. And she backs off by about 30 feet. So I walk in and she says, "Welcome to Home Depot. Can I help you look for something?" I said, "No, you can jerk me off in the car if you'd like. I mean, why are you being so nice to me? Why this is unnatural. It is unnatural for people to encounter me and ask if they can help me. This is not the real world. Where am I? Have I died and gone to some kind of Home Depot heaven? Does heaven actually have a section for 2x4s and for household cleaners and hardware? Is that what heaven's about? Can I help you find something? You got the time, hon? Because this is going to take some time." And of course, the idea is just to say hello, to make you feel like you've walked into an environment that is super friendly with nails and screws. Can I help you find something? No, you can't. Can I buy you dinner? No. Can I, while you're shopping, can I change your oil? Which one's your car? No, it's okay. Thank you very much. Can I buff your floors? No, I don't want to give you my address, but thank you so much. How about, all right. So I go there and I do my shopping, and she's greeting other people. And see, now I've been used. She's so friendly to me. Can I help you? Can I readjust your crotch? And then the next person that comes in, she's just as friendly to them, and it's like, oh, okay, I get that. Okay, you were using me. You weren't really asking me if from your heart if you can help me. You say that to everybody that walks in here, you whore, you helping hand whore. Excuse me. So I go looking in the store, and they don't have what I want. In my front foyer, in my foyer. By the way, if you want to make anything sound really classy, pronounce it with a French kind of accent, and all of a sudden it's classy. So I don't have a foyer. I have a foyer. In my foyer, I have four light switches all together. You know, with so I'm looking for a four light plate switch. You know what I mean? But I want it in that little gold finish. I mean, my house is not made of gold, but I figure the switch plate, if it was a gold color, would look a lot more classy. So I've been looking for that. It's something that I don't need, but it's something that's just something that I want. Because I'm an American, nothing's ever good enough. So I go to the lighting area there, and they've got the four-hole switch plate thing in the white plastic. Everything in Home Depot and Lowe's has a white plastic version. But I want this gold kind of look. I mean, it's not gold-plated, but it's the gold look, and I figure that's going to be classy. So I went to Lowe's, and they just don't have it. So I figured Home Depot has got to have it. They have a lot of commercials, and somebody greets you when you walk in. They must have everything. So I walk in there, and they don't have it. They don't have it either. They got it in white plastic, but they don't have it in the gold metal finish. So I walk up to one of the Home Depot people. They're the ones wearing orange aprons, like they're constantly preparing and cooking a pumpkin pie Thanksgiving. They're orange aprons. Who the hell owns an orange apron? I do not. Do you? No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you didn't. So she says, oh, let me help you find it. And she's looking in places, and I'm trying to say to her, no, no, it's not there. No, it's not there. Like, I'm working there. She doesn't know what the hell she's doing. She was like dropped out of Home Depot heaven onto the floor. She didn't know what Home Depot is. She thought it was some type of pastry shop or something. She doesn't know. She's wearing the pumpkin apron. I say, well, apparently you don't have it. And she says, well, you know, we've probably got it online. And I said, yeah. What I'm going to do is, yeah, I'm going to place an order online for a switch plate. And they're gonna. That's probably like $10, and the shipping and handling is probably like $90. Yeah, I'm gonna buy a switch plate online. Look, honey, this is not the bane of my existence. It was just like I'm just killing some time. I'm just fulfilling a switch plate fantasy. She says, "Okay, back off, man. Back off," she says. So anyway, so I've had it with Home Depot, and I'm about to leave, and this lady stops me. And she's another Home Depot apron-yielding person. And she says, did you find everything you were looking for? There's two ways to answer that question. One of them is no. And the other one is the philosophical response. Did you find everything you were looking for? No, I didn't. I'm looking for somebody that cares, that fulfills my every dream and every life. I'm looking for somebody that understands, that knows who I am as a person, that feels what I feel, desires what I desire. I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. I was looking for love in aisle 7, and I didn't find it. I'm looking for the meaning of life. I'm looking for the one spark that will make this all make sense. In a religious aspect, I'm looking for the light. No, not the incandescent light, not the energy-saving light bulb so much as the light of wisdom. And that you cannot find in any aisle. What am I looking for? I don't think I'll ever find it. Have I found everything I was looking for? No. But does one ever? In the shopping cart of life, do we not feel empty and yet fulfilled? So thank you, Home Depot lady, for your philosophical interest in my psychological well-being. Have I found everything I'm looking for? No. But thanks for asking.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make your placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Have you found everything you're looking for? I don't think so. At the end of the day, back in the day, at the end of the day, have you found everything you're looking for? Well, a recap. Interesting. How can you feel depressed when you're listening to this kind of music? This is John Coltrane. How this is a Sweet Sapphire Blues. How can you not feel bouncy and invigorated? How can you not feel that way? How can you feel that way? Have you found everything you were looking for? I went to the supermarket yesterday, the market of super things. You can always tell when a store has a policy because the people become very phony. You can almost put yourself mentally into their little group employee meetings where the store manager will say to the employees at the supermarket or at Home Depot, they will say, listen, I want you to greet every single fucking customer. And when they leave, I want you to thank them for shopping here. I want it done to every single person because this is a store with a big heart. And if one of you fuckers doesn't do that, you are out on your ass in the street living in a cardboard box. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
We are a store that cares about people. So unless you want us to fuck you up the ass for the rest of your life, you better be nice to people. Every single customer is to be greeted and thanked. Do you understand?
Yes, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
If we fire you and you lose your job, you will be penniless. You will be non-existent. Your family will be very disappointed in you. You will be shunned by your peers. You will be worthless. You will have no self-worth, which is what worthless means to you mindless little idiot puppets. Do you understand me?
Yes, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
So I go to the supermarket. I don't know if that's how the employee meeting goes. That's my assumption. So I go to the supermarket, and all of a sudden, their attitude shifts because the employees were told to do this, and here's what happens. I put my items on the little belt, the little food mover thing, and the person at the cash register says to me, it's a sweet young girl. She's probably no more than 2 years old. She says to me, did you find everything you were looking for? I grabbed her by the hair, and I said, if you say that to me ever again, you shall be deceased.
She said, yes, Mr. Johnson. I mean, yes, sir.
And she rings up my items, rings them up. That shows how old I am. She rings them up. She scans them up. And she says that'll be $30.33. And I said, all right, let's forget the 33 cents. She says, no, I've got to charge you. And I, you know, swipe my card. And she says, and then she says the line that I know is new because no one said it to me before. She said, thank you for shopping Roach Brothers, which is the store that I was at. And I said, thank you. And I left. And then I realized it was said in a very phony manner, you know, because Nobody in their right mind would do this on their own. You don't thank somebody for shopping in a store because you felt like saying it. You do it because you were told to say those exact words, like reading from a script. And the reason that I knew this, which was quite obvious to begin with, is the next time I went shopping there, a different person said the exact same words to me. Did you find everything you were looking for? And then I swipe my card, they give me roses, and they say, thank you for shopping, Roach Brothers. And I said, oh my God, are you reading that from a script? Or did you memorize that line? Did the store management tell you that every single person, you must say to them, thank you for shopping, Roach Brothers? The guy wouldn't respond. He's like, why do you ask me that? So what I decided to do, because I am so fucking cute, is the next time I go into the store, I'm going to play with them. I'm going to use them like the little toys that they are. And I'm going to put my items on the little food moving belt. And the person will say to me, did you find everything you were looking for? And I would say, no, I came here in here specifically for the 92-ounce container of hot chili sauce. And apparently you don't have it.
Oh, my God. We can order it for you.
Well, that's what I was looking for. You asked me if I found everything I'm looking for. You don't have that, do you?
Well, no.
Do you?
No.
And then they scan all your items and stuff, and they say to you, thank you for shopping Roach Brothers, and I want to say to them, thank you for shopping the Ron Van Dam Show. And ladies and gentlemen, I do thank you for shopping the Ron Van Dam Show. And I'm saying that because I mean it, not because I was told to say it. I seriously mean that. I don't mean that. All right, it's time to talk to our guest for today. Earlier in the program, I was talking about young people feeling impervious, as if they will live forever, nothing can possibly harm them. The problem is that that just ain't true at all. And kids, you are impervious. And one of the things that bothers me the most is texting while you're driving. It's a dangerous thing to do. You feel like no matter what happens to you, you're fine. But when you text when you drive, you hurt other people, and it's dangerous. So we're going to talk to some people now about texting and driving. Never do it. If you ever text and drive, I will smack you in the head with a 2x4. As seems to be the theme for today, smacking people in the head with a 2x4, it stops you from texting while you're driving, and it knocks the acne off your face. Let's speak to our guest right now. Apparently, my guests play the saxophone. Just be quiet. By the way, you shouldn't eat while you're driving. You shouldn't change the radio station while you're driving. You shouldn't pick your nose while you're driving. You shouldn't drive while you're driving. Stop driving while you're driving. It's distracting to me. All right, let's speak to our guest now. Here we go. Speaking to Kevin York. He's a BMW professional driving instructor and a competitor in the driving world. And Shelby Fix is the daughter of the car coach, Lauren Fix. And she herself, Shelby's created quite a mark for herself in her journalism and the cause. Shelby, how did you get so involved in talking about teenage driving distractions?
Well, I started getting involved in the automotive industry my whole life, but, it really hit home when, a friend of mine passed away from texting and driving, and a lot of teenagers don't realize that it can happen to them or their friends. You know, they think they're invincible. And, you know, it really hits home when it happens to somebody close to them.
I can imagine. Kevin, you're an actual instructor with BMW. Is this something that you drive home to your students?
Yeah, so, you know, BMW have performance driving schools on both coasts of the United States. We also are doing a national tour this summer that, as a component of it, have a two-hour distilled version of that team driving program that we offer. And in that program, we do speak to distracted driving and, frankly, have an exercise that demonstrates sort of the pitfalls of that whole, let's call it, activity. In a controlled environment on a closed course with an instructor in the right front seat, we're putting students through not only distracted driving exercise, but also panic stop situations. We teach them skid recognition and recovery. We're also teaching them things like accident avoidance. You know, if there's something suddenly in your path of travel, how to avoid it properly. And offer tips. You know, one of the biggest tips that we offer is looking where you want to go. It might sound a bit obvious, but when it's truly thought about, and we really focus on it a lot, the understanding that a driver takes away is I really need to be engaged in the process of driving and not be distracted by things and really have my vision far ahead. It's really confidence-inspiring, not only for the drivers, but frankly for the parents as well.
Isn't it a lot of it, Shelby, when we're talking about teenage distractions, because the experience of a teenager would not be one of those of an adult who may have gone through something that was a close call before, and they pretty much get it. Teenage drivers impervious to any problems, they think?
Yeah, you know, they think that they're invincible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just have to keep reminding them to keep the distractions out of the car. I know the radio can be a distraction. I know cell phones. I know friends. You know, everything's a distraction. You just need to focus on the road, keep your hands on the wheel, and just eyes on the road. It's the most important thing.
Yeah, no question. What scares me the most, and always did, was the texting while driving. I can't even imagine that concept even happening. It's just the worst and scariest. And I feel bad for people that get in accidents when they text and drive, but I feel even worse for the innocent person who's just driving down the street and doing everything perfectly and can't avoid something like this. It's a very scary situation. And so both of you are out to educate the public, and I know BMW is really thick into this.
That's right. We find it really an important message that, you know, as a vehicle company and always enjoying the process of driving amongst all of our customers, we want to continue that message going forward.
Yeah. What are some tips that you can give us that can make us safer?
Well, we've already shared a couple if you're following along, like looking where you want to go and keeping your hands on the road. That real connectedness to the car, proper seating position is really important. You know, it's just a whole host of things that really are distilled down to a true connectedness to the process and realizing it's a really important process to have a car.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's common sense is really all it is, and I think I think sometimes you have to be scared out of your wits because of a close call before you do get it. That's my viewpoint on it.
Absolutely, on some level, you're right. That common sense though is somehow lost, and we try to demystify driving, you know, and build confidence and frankly a level of enjoyment in the process of driving, and that's I think if we can get that in people with proper training, proper conversations between not only trainers but the parents and the drivers, then that's miles ahead from what happens in most households, I think.
Shelby, you're co-authoring a book with your mother, I understand.
Hey, yeah. It's called 101 Things Driver's Ed Didn't Teach You. So we found a lot of things that driver's ed did not teach you, and it all has to do with, you know, blind spots, distracted driving, you know, even just pumping your gas. So.
Wow. My mother had she did something that scared the heck out of me. When she talked to somebody in the car when she was driving, she had to face them and speak to them face-to-face even though she was driving. It made me so scared. Fortunately, I'm still here to talk about it, but I mean, even in prior generations, there were distractions.
Right. A lot of adults, you know, confess to texting and driving as well. You know, it's all new technology, and everybody, you know, wants instant gratification. And, you know, unfortunately, when you're driving, you just have to, like, let them know, hey, I'm driving, I'll text you, or I'll call you when I'm out of the car.
Yeah. You know what the most interesting timekeeping situation in the world is? Find out how fast a split second is when you're driving,
right,
and then you'll see what can happen in less than a tick of a watch. It's unbelievable. Where can we go for more information, guys?
In terms of BMW, you can go to bmwusa.com/UDE for ultimate driving experience, and then there contains all the information about our national tour and the details of the team driving program that I mentioned, which again is a 2-hour no charge training scenario.
Cool. And Shelby, how do we follow your stuff?
You can follow me on Instagram at Shelby F or on Twitter at Shelby Fix, or go to ShelbyFix.com to find out more car reviews and more basic maintenance on cars and distracted driving.
Great. I can't imagine what's more important than this, so thank you for bringing it to everybody's attention. And have a wonderful day. You take care.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Ron. Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, there they are, Shelby Fix and the guy with the BMW training thing. Pleasure to have you guys with us. You are wonderful people. You alone are the reason that I live in my little puppet government. Ladies and gentlemen, we're almost out of time, which is a mind blower for me. Because at the end of the day, oh God, my. Yes, I had a dramatic pause. You couldn't see it because it's an audio deal. This is an audio file, ladies and gentlemen. You couldn't see it, but I looked like shocked and in awe. I'll do it again. Yeah, did you see it? Now I'm going to look very angelic and very loving. Is there any child in the world that when they are a young... When they are a young adolescent, they say to their mother, Mater, I someday, like now, would love to learn how to play the harp. The harp? Yes. I want to be a harpist. I want to be a person of the harp. Mother, may I have harp lessons immediately? I love the harp. I just want to make the sound of a heavenly thing. I want to be in the harp matching band. The high school marching band doesn't have a harp player, and I'd like to be a harp player in the high school marching band. My lifelong dream is to play the harp. Or, can you get me a piano and take the insides out and let me strum them? I have a great affinity toward the harp. Please, please, Mater, may I play the harp? So whenever I see a harp player in an orchestra, I say to myself, what the hell was going on in your mind? How did you end up on the harp? Who influenced you? Is it St. Peter? Who influenced you to want to play the harp just for the hell of it? It's not like a little thing that you can tool around with to harp practice. Okay, but bring your harp. Okay. It's who decides in their right mind to say, I want to play the harp and I want to be the best damn harp player in the world. Who has ever cut a CD or a musical thing, the harp's greatest hits? Can you name a harp player? No. Yeah, because they're not famous. That's my favorite harp song. Who does that? Nobody ventures out to play the harp. The only reason you have harp players is because orchestra leaders say, there's nobody that wants to play the harp. Can you try this, Bob? Can you just, like, strum shit on it? You know, like, can you? Because nobody wants to play this thing. If they would just stop composing pieces that required a harp, I think we all be a lot happier. And my time is up, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out for parole this week, so I've got to pay a little attention to getting my act together and my presentation. But until then, until next time, please join me again. I do wish you peace.